morning. Welcome to our sunrise service here on this Easter Sunday, Resurrection morning. Good to see folks out. I may be a little sleepy. Now, there's some of you that you're up early, so this is maybe late for you, but others of you, it's certainly early for a Sunday morning. So we are glad to see you out here. We even have Miss Jen here, friend of neighbor Laval Pittas, who was with us Friday night. She's been with us before. We've got, is it niece back here?
Granddaughter,
all right. We got Dan and Karen, and she's like, oh, they got me out of bed early, all right. Others here, this family has been with us quite a few times. Good to see you here this morning. There may be a few others straggle on in. I'm assuming so, because I don't see my own family, all right. And I came in a little early, but my wife has been under the weather, as you know. Some of you may not remember, last year I missed all of Good Friday and Easter. Had a bad case of pink eye that came upon me, and so others had to fill in for me. This year, my wife is missing everything. She had come down with something, bad cough, lost most of her voice. She was hoping to come this morning to the main service, but said, I'm probably going to stay home. So my mom is here, and Jenna and Cameron are here, and Emily's here, but not here, all right? So at some point, I'm sure we'll see them, but we are glad to have you here this morning, and we praise the Lord for our risen Savior. And I know it may be a little early for that singing. Your voice may not have woken up yet, but I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then Shane is going to come, and we'll have an opening song, opening hymn. And even if our voices maybe are not up to par, I trust we'll sing with a heart of rejoicing over our risen Savior. Would you stand with me? You got the strength to stand this morning, all right? And then stay standing as you grab that hymn book there for our opening hymn on this morning's sunrise service. Father, we rejoice this morning on this Resurrection Sunday morning. And Lord, as I came in early this morning, there wasn't much of a sunrise, just a little bit. Lord, coming over the hill in the Duryea, there was a little bit of color in the clouds. And Lord, we're thankful no matter what, even if it's a cloudy day. Lord, we rejoice in our risen Savior on this Easter, Resurrection Sunday morning. I thank you, Lord, for those who are able to be with us, those that may be watching from home. Lord, I do know there's still quite a bit of sickness going around, not only my wife, but others that just have something this time of year, Lord, where they've come down with a sickness or a virus. And we're thankful, Lord, that they can participate at home. Lord, we rejoice in our risen Savior. We rejoice in the fact that we can assemble together on this, the Lord's Day. And Lord, we don't have to just remember the resurrection one day a year. Lord, we can celebrate that every day of the year, every Sunday, every Lord's Day, every service we have. I thank you for those that are here, those that may be on their way. We certainly pray for our service this morning at 10, Lord. We may often have visitors, folks from in town that will come out on an Easter Sunday. And we're praying, Lord, that we'd see lost souls come to know Christ today on this resurrection morning. Lord, we praise your name. We're so thankful that you are alive and that we have the hope of heaven and the resurrection. We thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, and we're going to start off with 265, 265, Christ Arose.
Christ arose.
for his fold. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Alleluia, Christ arose.
All right, amen. You may have a seat. How'd your voice do there? Did you get up there like, oh my goodness, he arose?
We know that the Lord is pleased if we sing from a heart overflowing with joy. We praise the Lord that he did arise. And again, good to see you out here on this sunrise service here this morning. Good to have Cameron and Jenna. I mentioned that they were up. My mom was here Good Friday service. And that doesn't mean Emily's not important, but she's there in the middle. But good to have them up from the Lancaster area. Got to spend a day with them yesterday. And glad that they're here as well as all of you. Just real quick, I'm going to read a portion of scripture, then we'll have one more hymn. But if you've not been with us before on a sunrise service, there's nothing in the Bible that commands we have to have one. Maybe you grew up going to those. How many of you grew up going to sunrise service? Any of you? A few of you. All right. Sort of depends on the church or sometimes the denomination. I know for many, many years, my mom's sister, my aunt and uncle live up in Montrose and have been there for many years. And so we always, over Easter break, growing up as a kid, our family would go up to Montrose for Easter with my aunt and uncle, and at that time they were for many years, and my mom grew up, even when I was younger, we're in the Methodist church, and so all the Methodist church seemed to always have a sunrise service, and so we were always up there. Usually it was outdoor, and usually it was time to be right around the sunrise, so I can remember just being cold, standing outside, sometimes in Montrose, a little bit northern of here, a lot of times dew in the ground, and pretty cold, and maybe you were outside as the sun was coming up there, sometimes near a cemetery or outside the church, and maybe you're singing a song and you're cold there. So I certainly have some memories of that. I don't think we ever had a sunrise service all the years that I was at Temple there in Asheville, 21 years. I don't remember ever having one. So just sort of depends sometimes where you're at, your church, but we're glad to have one here today and glad that you have come out. It won't be a long service. And after the service, again, you might say, we're going back to bed. All right. Once I'm up, I can't go back to bed. Or we're going to go get some breakfast at home. Or again, tradition here, we will, anyone who would like to join us, we will head up to DuPont just up the road there to the Iron Skillet, one of the few restaurants open on Easter morning, and we'll just go up there, and whoever wants to come with us, we'll have a breakfast up there and order and just have some fellowship. So no pressure there. You're welcome to join us after the service. We'll head up there and have plenty of time for the 10 o'clock service. All right, I'm going to read in the Bible. If you'd like to turn, you're welcome to do that. Mark chapter 15, just going to read a short passage of scripture. We'll come back with a hymn, and then I'll conclude by a short challenge here from the Word of God this morning. But Mark chapter 15, and I'm going to read from verses 37 to 47, so basically the last 10 or 11 verses of Mark 15. Now, you might be like, hey, wait a minute, that's not a resurrection chapter. That's correct. It's not. And so I want to read this, and I want you to think about, what if this were the last chapter? What if it ended right here with what we're about to read? All right. Mark chapter 15, that's the second book in the New Testament. I'm going to start reading at verse 37. Mark 15, verse 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. We know that was while he was on the cross. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joseph, and, this would be another woman, Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when the even or evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, that's the governor, and craved the body of Jesus. Oftentimes, if those men crucified, they would just be taken down and thrown into a common grave. 3, 4, 5, 6 at a time, just throw them in there. But here we have a
well-known, important, influential man comes to the governor, the Roman governor, and asks for the body of Jesus, verse 44. And Pilate marveled if he, Jesus, were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Jesus. And he, that's Joseph, bought fine linen and took him down, Jesus down, and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. Now, we're not sure how large the stone was, but many believe that the stones were anywhere from 1,000 pounds up to 4,000. So how would he have done that? Well, if you've ever seen any of the drawings over there, a lot of times it's a stone, and maybe it would have had underneath it almost like a piece of wood or a wedge. And basically all you're doing is pushing it, because there's a recessed little area where the stone, that sounded good, all right, thumped down in. And then once it was down in there, it was almost impossible to roll out. You'll see that a little bit later. He rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. What if that was the last chapter? What if that was it? Right there, boom. Took the body down, put it in the tomb, rolled the stone, and went their ways. And that was it. Now we know that's not it. And we praise the Lord that there's another chapter. We're thankful for that Sunday morning when Christ rose. So let's go back to the hymn book one more time, and then we'll challenge you with a thought this morning.
That's 270. Hail the day that see him rise. We'll remain seated. 270.
Hail the day that sees him rise, alleluia. To his throne beyond the skies, alleluia. Christ the Lamb for sinners him, alleluia. Enters now the highest hand, triumphs wait, alleluia. Lift your heads, eternal gates, alleluia. He has conquered death and sin, alleluia. Take the King of glory in, alleluia. Still for us he intercedes, alleluia. His atoning death he pleads, alleluia. Near himself prepares our place, alleluia. He the first fruits of our race,
amen. If you look in the hymnal, there's only, what, 7 or 8 hymns, I think, that deal with the resurrection. So we're going to sing 3 in the morning service, 2 in the evening service. That doesn't leave a whole lot left. Doesn't mean we can't repeat them, but there's not that many. So perhaps some of you, God has given you the gift or the talent of, again, many of these hymns were simply poems that someone wrote, and then later on put to music, perhaps by a composer or someone who saw that and said, wow, not everybody had the musical ability to put the music that you hear played. So could be that some of you do that and have a poem, or you write some things, and who knows, Doesn't mean that God can't use a good writing today and some good music dealing with the resurrection. Well, again, glad to have you here today. Now, I'm going to challenge you. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read briefly, not in its entirety, the four resurrection chapters, all right? So if you are skilled with your Bible, you're going to know that's going to be the last chapter of Matthew, so we're going to start there. So if you'll turn to Matthew 28, we'll look at just a few verses. Then we're going to go to Mark 16, just a few verses. Then we're going to go to Luke 24, just a few verses. And then we're going to go to John 20, the only of the gospel books, the only one that's different, that there's an extra chapter after the resurrection chapter. But I want us to look at that, and I want to just challenge you this morning, not so much a deep challenge as from the Word of God, but a lot of times, if you've read the gospel stories, you read the accounts of the resurrection, some confusion can set in, because it looks like when you read them, there's contradictions. Now, if you're confident in the Word of God, and I hope you are, that the Bible, the Word of God, is the Word of God. Every word is inspired of God. God breathed. Every part. All right? Every jot, every tittle, every word, every thought. It's all there of God. God gave it. It's infallible. It's inerrant. All right? You believe in, I hope, verbal, plenary inspiration of the Word of God. It's preserved for us. It's sufficient for us. We can have absolute confidence that this is the very Word of God. Not that it contains the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Therefore, there are no errors, there are no contradictions, there are no things. So just because you and I as humans in our limited minds, all right, read things in the Bible and they don't make sense or they appear to be contradictions, that is not the case. And in fact, one of the great proofs of the inspiration of the Word of God is that the gospel accounts are different, not the same. If they were all exactly the same, that would be, in a way, a proof of collusion or that they're just copying one another. All right, just like any teacher who's ever been in here. All right, when you get a paper from school, you're like, wait a minute, these all sound, wait a minute, I think these four or five people all copied one another. All right, okay. And yet the gospel accounts are not all the same. All right, and the Holy Spirit has chosen to do that. And so I want to see if we can put the pieces together just for a few moments this morning. All right, on what really happened on that resurrection morning. Now, in those days, that would have just been called the first day of the week. It wouldn't have been called Sunday. In fact, you won't see that anywhere in the Bible. Later on, after this occasion, it becomes known as the Lord's Day among believers. The Lord's Day. They're going to meet on the Lord's Day. All right? That first day of the week is going to be the Lord's Day. The day that our Lord arose from the grave. The day in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit came down, and we would say the church was birthed. That's what we're talking about, the Lord's Day. So here in the Jewish mind, this is just the first day of the week. This is the first day of the week. All right. So Matthew 28, are you there in Matthew 28? We read before the last hymn, Christ gave up the ghost, was taken down, wrapped hastily by Joseph, and if you read the book of John, by Nicodemus, put into the tomb fairly quickly, stone was rolled, and then as Jews, they would have left and began to observe the Sabbath. And that's why the women are coming back, not because they believed, but because they're going to do the proper way to wrap the body and anoint it with spices and give him a decent burial. And that's what we're about to read. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene. Remember Mary, she was there. She was at the cross. Said she observed his body being put in the tomb, and she was there. Here comes Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now, if you want to mark it, we're going to be coming back to this, but that's going to sort of begin how things happened that morning. Now, let's go to Mark. Mark 16. All right, you go to Mark chapter 16 and let's read the first few verses here. Mark 16. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices,
that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, where sunrise services often will come from, and they said among themselves, uh-oh, we didn't think of something. Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? We're not going to be able to get in there. Who's going to roll the stone away? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted or frightened. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Interesting. Will you go with me to the next book? Luke 24. Maybe you've never considered, why does the Holy Spirit record four separate times, back to back to back to back, the accounts of the resurrection? Must be important. All right. Luke 24. Luke 24, chapter, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, I think we can get that settled, right? It's the first day of the week. Today we call that Sunday. I think we can determine it was very early in the morning. As the sun was rising, as dawn. They came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now you might be saying, wait a minute. This is not all the same. Something's wrong here. What's going on? Verse 5, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, they would be the angels, these two men, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. One more, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And then, let's see if we can put the pieces together. What happened exactly on that first day of the week, early in the morning? Now you come to John chapter 20. Here we go. Verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, we would believe that's John, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. And notice, and we, that's important, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, the first disciple, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin, or the head covering that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he, Jesus, must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascended to my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and they had spoken these things unto her. Now, if you had read all of those to a classroom full of boys and girls, and the boys and girls said, I've got questions, teacher. That doesn't all seem to match up here. All right. Would you go back with me to Mark 16? Mark 16. Maybe you have it marked. Maybe you got to find it again. All right. And let's see if I can, in 5 minutes, sum things up here. If it wasn't an early morning service, I would pick some of you to be Mary Magdalene and the women. And I'd need a Peter and a John. And it would make a lot more sense. But I'm not going to impose on you this early in the morning. All right. Mark 16. Mark 16. Now, there can be no doubt that Mary Magdalene was the very first person to see the risen Lord. Say, oh, I don't know about that. We read a lot of different things here. Well, look at Mark 16, what we didn't read. Mark 16:9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Okay, so Scripture does not contradict itself. The Word of God is true. So, wonder what really happened that first day of the week. Well, here is what I submit after studying the chapters, and I hope you would do the same thing. We know from the Scriptures that the religious leaders were worried that Jesus would rise again. After all, he had said that repeatedly. And they were the only ones that remembered it. Because it says, Sir, we remember that he said that. Isn't it amazing? The enemies remembered that he had said it, but none of the believers did. None of the disciples and the women did. Sir, we remember that day. We remember what he said. He's going to rise again the third day. And so we don't really necessarily really believe that. But we're worried that his followers are going to steal the body and then make up that lie and everybody will believe it. And so we just want to make sure that doesn't happen, remember? So we're asking that we could have an official guard and some security. And you remember Pilate said, that's fine, go your way, they'll have a guard. And so we would take, based on Scripture there, that was a Roman guard, likely at least four men at a time on a watch, a 3 or 4 hour watch. They would watch through the night. So there was probably four or more Roman guards or people there guarding it. And it says that they sealed the tomb. So they put almost like today a crime scene. They would have put an official seal, maybe a wax marking that this is sealed by Rome. And boy, people didn't mess with that. If you were to violate that or go in that, you could be put to death. So they've got guards there just in case. They've got a Roman seal there. They've got the backing of Pilate. I mean, wow. And the disciples, they're not worried about that. They're scared. They ran. They're hiding. The ladies are hiding. Everybody's sad. Think of that Saturday. Everybody's mourning and sad. And even on the first day of the week, they're not coming because they believe. They're just coming just to anoint the body the way that Jewish person would. Properly and wrapping it in spices and aloes and making it a decent burial. Disciples aren't anywhere to be found. There's nobody there. So what really happened? If you go back and read, Mark, here's what happened. The first thing I believe is that there was a great earthquake. This is before anybody showed up. The angel of the Lord, it says, rolled the stone away and sat on it, which is a sign of victory. Christ arose, broke the bars away, and it says the guard became as dead men. Oof, I don't know what that means. They just fell down. Whoa, boom. That's the first thing that happened. Then you have this group of ladies that are coming. Oh no, we didn't even think about it. We're not going to be able to roll the stone away. How are we going to get? My goodness, the stone is rolled away. At that moment, if you read carefully, Mary Magdalene leaves. It's likely that the ladies were approaching, that Mary Magdalene takes off and goes to tell the disciples. And she finds Peter and John. It says they were in a house. Now, while she's gone, if you read all these carefully, the other ladies approach the tomb, and there is the, they look, and there's the man inside. Oh, he's not here. He has risen. Oh, my goodness. Whoa. They then leave. Here comes Peter and John running. They go in. They leave. Here comes back Mary now, sort of by herself. She sees everything, right? She's weeping. All of a sudden, there's the gardener. It's dark. She thinks it's the man taking care of the cemetery. Sir, do you know where he is? Mary. My Lord. Whoa. The Bible says he first appeared to Mary Magdalene. Then she excitedly takes off. And that, if you read the other gospel accounts, the ladies are on their way to tell the disciples. Jesus appears to the ladies. And they fall down and worship him. Whoa. All right. And if you were to put the pieces together, that's what it said, I believe, happened on that resurrection morning. The earthquake. The angel. The guards fall down. The women come. Mary Magdalene takes off. The women too. Well, therefore, at one point, maybe one angel. Come back, there were two angels. That's not, just, there's no contradiction there. Different times and different places there, all right? Mary comes back. Christ reveals. The bottom line is this, though. Every time they went to tell the disciples, they didn't believe. Mary told it, they didn't believe. The women told it, they didn't believe. The angels declared it, they didn't believe. Two men on the road, two, not men, could have been a man and lady, could have been husband and wife, on the road to Emmaus. They saw Jesus, came back. And during that time, you'll notice there were different appearances. It says that Christ had appeared to Peter by himself. We don't know when that happened. And then he appeared, right? And I want to finish with all one thing, and then we're done, and my time is up here. Even then, it says our hearts were hardened. Even then, when Jesus appeared to them in person. Now, let's not be too harsh on him. They thought it was a spirit, right? And there's people today that say Christ arose, but it was more of a spiritual. You know, he arose spiritually. No, it was visible and bodily. Remember, they saw he was a ghost. And he said, no, do you have anything to eat? Let me eat. I'll eat the fish. I'll eat the... Touch me. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. But even then, they were sort of questioning and wondering. And I want to finish with John chapter 20. Would you go to John 20? You've done a good job. It's early in the morning. You're sitting there. You're starting to, you had some early energy when you came. Now you're sort of setting in a little bit. Maybe you're like, okay, oh, I'm not doing so good. All right, here this morning. Maybe you stayed up a little late last night. That's okay. You worked yesterday in the yard. All right, got some sore muscles. John chapter 20. But through it all, through the different appearance. Remember, this was very unusual. Maybe this is something you can chew about. Talk about it at breakfast. Jesus was on earth for 40 days, 1 month and 10 days. Why didn't he just walk through the streets of Jerusalem? Why didn't he just walk around proving that he was alive? Why didn't he walk right into the Sanhedrin? Why didn't he just walk around visibly in the main cities proving to... He didn't do that. He was mostly hidden. He didn't come back. He knew all these miracles. He would come, he would leave. Sometimes it'd be a week. They didn't know where he was. All right, it's very interesting. He was on earth for 40 days, and he appeared at different places and times, but not like before. If that was you and me, you'd say, yeah, I just show up and everybody would believe. Here I am. No one stole the body. What are you going to do about that? But he didn't do that. John chapter 20, let's read this and we're done. There was one man, though, who wasn't there and would not believe. Unless you and I get too hard on old Thomas... The Bible says, John 20, verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. That's a whole other message. Where was Thomas? Why was Thomas not with them? He was with them the whole way through. He was with them in the garden. He was with them in the upper room. Why was he not with them? He wasn't with them, so he had not seen Jesus. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now we're like, whoa, that's pretty bold. That's pretty bold. I mean, all the other guys, hey, we've seen him. He's alive. I believe it. Now look how long it was until the Lord appeared again. And after 8 days. Now, you know, what do you think happened during those 8 days? You think the disciples begin to doubt? Think Thomas is sort of like, I told you. That's a long time. Where's the Lord at? No, nothing. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. I'll finish with this verse. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Here's the real last beatitude. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Have you seen the risen Lord? Have I? Not in person. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. I hope that's you. Say, yeah, by faith. I have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ in person. I have not. I wasn't there. He didn't appear to me. I didn't touch him. But the Lord said, Thomas, you've seen me now, and now you believe. But blessed are they who have not seen me and yet have and believe. I trust that you do believe. You say, people and say, well, you're disillusioned. You're just one of those that go along. You don't even know. You're just hoping it's going to be true. We know it's true. We know the Word of God is true. We rely on the Scriptures. We rely on the Word of God Himself. And I'm so thankful on this first day of the week, this Resurrection Lord's Day, that we gather, whether we gather at 6 in the morning or 7 in the morning, or whether church has a service at 10, doesn't matter. There's no command in the Bible. We're privileged to have a sunrise service, to rejoice, and to try to imagine a little bit what it was like some 2,000 years ago as people were so sad and despondent. Women were discouraged. It was dark. It was wet. It was dewy. Who's going to roll the stones away? What's going on? My goodness. All right. The different emotions and trusting and believing and what happened. Oh, my goodness. All right. And everything Christ said was true. And we know it made a life-changing decision because you read the book of Acts. Whoa. Those guys believed. Wow. They believed. They were bold. They gave up their lives. They boldly. And what's the number one message through the book of Acts? Almost every message and every sermon says this: Jesus Christ rose. God raised him from the dead. The resurrection was the theme of almost all preaching. Paul, Peter, and the disciples, every message, Jesus Christ is risen. The hope of the resurrection. Wow. I mean, that was the gospel. All right. So you and I today, we believe that. Praise God. It ought to transform our lives. But we also need to make sure we include that when we soul win. The gospel is not just his death on the cross. It's the resurrection. All right. The death, burial, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Would you stand with me? We'll conclude in prayer this morning. It is 7:40. Our morning service is in 2 hours and 20 minutes, all right? You are free to do what you'd like in those 2 hours and 20 minutes. Some will be going to breakfast. We'd love to have you go along. And everybody sort of, Shane, don't you usually pay for everybody? I'm trying to remember. All right, I think Shane, no, I'm kidding. So you go on your own there. You just pay for yourself or your family as you go. But we'd love to have you. No pressure to join us. And if not, oh, Lord willing, we'll look forward to seeing you back here at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, remember, no Sunday school. 10 o'clock main service. Remind some folks who may show up at 10:30. All right, 10 o'clock main service. They'll still get most of the service, but they'll miss a lot of music and the choir and a lot of things. But 10 o'clock service and then a 6 o'clock here this evening. Father, we rejoice on this Sunday morning, resurrection morning, the Lord's Day, that we are not meeting in vain. We are not holding on to some thing that we just hope to believe it and therefore it's true. Lord, we are gathered together this morning to honor you, to remember almost 2,000 years ago, that first day of the week, early in the morning, when the ladies, the women, were coming to the tomb and the stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. The grave clothes were lying there, neat. Christ had risen and conquered death and the grave. And Lord, here we are today, and we rejoice in that fact. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And Lord, I pray that we believe that with all of our heart. I pray that it transforms our lives. I pray that it gives us hope and peace and a purpose. I hope we are bold in sharing our faith. And I hope, Lord, that we, when we share the gospel, we give the entire gospel, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, Lord, and give hope to those who are searching. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to assemble this morning. We look forward to gathering together, Lord, in a few hours and rejoicing in our risen Savior. Ask your blessing now as folks head out on their way. We pray for lost souls to be saved today, even in our service. We thank you and we praise you. And it's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we say, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for being here. If you'd like to join us, make your way to the iron skillet. If not, we'll see you at 10 o'clock.